Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, and welcome to Indie Streak. My name is Rachel Galvin, and as you know, I interview film industry professionals on this show. If you've missed any of the shows, you can go back and listen to the archives. I've had some great directors in the last few weeks, throughout the entire show, in fact. Last week, I interviewed Michael McGowan of Still Mine, a beautiful love story about an older couple whose the wife has dementia, and the husband decides to build a house for her on their own property, but he runs into a struggle with local bureaucrats who don't want him to build it unless he gets a permit, and they kind of put him through all this red tape, and he has to deal with that in addition to dealing with his wife's troubles. And it's a beautiful story. It's kind of like Notebook, but for an older couple, and it's really beautiful. So I talked to the director, Michael McGowan, last week about that. That movie stars James Cromwell and Genevieve, I hope I got that right this time, Bujold. I can never get her name properly. And the week before that, I interviewed Kurt Donas about his fun superhero soap opera of sorts. It's kind of a soap opera. It's a web series called Lucky Streak and the Crime Fighters, which I was happy to be a part of. It was a real fun film to work on. And we talked about getting the film out to conventions and being a little unconventional by going to conventions rather than film festivals and the sort, and gaining your audience that way. So it's completely different from Still Mine. And the week before that, I interviewed Al Laufer, who did two delectably different vampire films, very different than what you see in, let's say, Twilight. In fact, they kind of poke fun at Twilight, which I enjoyed immensely. And I talked to him about his two films. He has So Pretty and So Dark, which are also on the web. And it's just a different way of marketing your film. So we talked about those. We have over 70 films on the archives. So if you have missed any of the films, any of the shows, I should say, you should go back and listen to all of the archives, and there's a little bit of everything. I've interviewed writers, directors, producers, you name it. So if you've missed any of that, you know, check it out. Also, if you're a filmmaker and you'd like to be on the show, contact me. My email address is ravenprods@yahoo.com. That's ravenprods@yahoo.com. And I would be happy to take a look at what you have to offer and see if it works for the show. And I have a long line of people that are usually waiting to get on the show. So, you know, if you don't get in right away, don't worry. I'll try to fit you in. Okay? Well, today I'm going to be interviewing publicist Josh Mitchell, director of Helen Keller Had a Pit Bull. And he's going to be joining us shortly and talk about that film. And also his work with publicity. He is in Los Angeles, and he works with a large clientele of not only independent filmmakers, but also companies. And I found out about Josh through emails that he sent to me. So evidently his publicity work is working, because that's how I found out about him. And he is also plugging his clients that way. So he's done a film of his own. He's done several films, in fact, a lot of short films, and this new film, Helen Keller Had a Pit Bull, which is a light story, but it's also a drama, so he kind of keeps it light. It's basically, I'm going to let him talk about it, about the plot, but it has a lot of aspects to it, and it seems to be a true story about his life, and hopefully I'll get a chance to talk to him more about that. But before he comes on the line, I also want to let you guys know that I just got back yesterday. I went to Swedefest up in Palm Beach, which I've been plugging pretty much every show at the end of the show. Swedefest is a festival. This was their second year, I believe. And they basically kind of poke fun at mainstream movies. And I'll tell you, it was a blast. If you have not been up to Swedefest, definitely check it out next year. And if you're a filmmaker, you can make a film. I was actually in one of the films, which was a lot of fun. I was in a movie that kind of spoofed the movie Looper, if you're familiar with that sci-fi film Looper with Bruce Willis. So I played the main character, Sarah, and it was a lot of fun to do, and it was was up on the big screen. There were 21 films shown, and the audience loved it, and it was a packed house with 500 seats. So if you are going next year, make sure you get your tickets early and get there early, because people were trying to get in, you know, at the door, and they couldn't get in last night. Also, they had other films shown in the lobby. So those that didn't make it into the main theater at the Borland Center up in Palm Beach Gardens, they were shown out in the lobby area where people could buy sodas and hard alcohol and food. And it was more of a family atmosphere, because a lot of kids showed up, and there were a lot of films made by kids too. And the hosts were fantastic, although one of them did make some jokes about drugs, which I wondered, gee, is that family friendly? I don't know, but I enjoyed it. They were hilarious. The films were hilarious. It was all broken down in several different acts. So act 1 through 6, and within each act, there were 3 or 4 films shown, and they gave us a little pamphlet of sorts that we had to check off our favorite film from each act. And then at the end, we could pick our best film overall. So we could decide which one we liked the best, and then the winner got a gift certificate, I think it was to Best Buy. So, and then all of the filmmakers got a little medal, and I think they all got a cupcake. So it's a little different than your standard film festival, and it was very casual, a casual atmosphere. People were coming from all over. I met a lot of people that I didn't know before, which is unusual for me because I usually know everyone, everywhere I go. But it was just a lot of fun, and you could dress up, you know, with mustaches, and I wore a beret, and you know, have a lot of fun with the atmosphere. And it just really gets you into the spirit of enjoying films again. If you are kind of stilted on films, or if you've been out there watching films and think, gee, I haven't seen anything good lately, you know, a festival like that really gets you back into the spirit of just having fun with making a film, or just having fun watching a film, because the whole audience was cracking up. And the purpose of this is to make fun of mainstream films. These are bad films made by good people. So the films were purposefully bad, and that just made them funnier. For example, there was Starship Troopers had these little army soldiers, and they had real bugs attacking the army soldiers, which was hilarious. The winner overall was Back to the Future. They had little kids that were acting out the scenes from Back to the Future, which was great, and they were doing all the scenes from that movie and from the 50s and the 80s, and they did a great job with the wardrobe and everything. So you definitely, like I said, want to check it out next year if you missed it this year. So let's try to think of some of the other films that were shown last night. Of course, our Looper film, we used tennis rackets instead of guns. So you can use crazy props like that. There, let me see what other films there was. There was Twister, a take on Twister. They called it Twista with a V, directed by Erica Harvey. And they had this newspaper-like tornado that was coming at the car, and it was so funny. And they had cows flying through the air. And they had to run, but they saw a one-way sign, so they had to go that direction. Little gags like that, it made it so funny. And the movie Ghost, they took one scene from that film and made it completely different by making the characters wear boxes that look like Lego characters. So they were doing the pottery scene, if you're familiar with that scene, with these Lego characters. That was very random and different. They had The Shining, which they kept pretty much standard going through the entire film, but they had things like a miniature car driving through, and just some of the acting was kind of funny. Goodfellas, that was a great one, directed by Wally Lertz. All of the characters were mimes in that famous scene where they said, "You think I'm funny? What am I, your clown?" But it was all pantomimed, and that was really well done. You could tell that those actors were real actors and very, very talented in what they do. Also, Edward Scissorhands was a lot of fun to watch. They had actual scissors taped to each of his fingers. They had Scott Pilgrim versus the Swede, which was done with kids. And you could tell they had a lot of fun with that, with all of the evil ex-boyfriends and girlfriends, whatever the case may be. So that was a lot of fun. And Point Break, they did Point Break. They did Dead Man Down, which I've never seen. The person next to me had seen it, but I wasn't familiar with that. They did Super Troopers, which I also had never seen. Home Alone was a lot of fun, where they put all of the traps for the characters, and that was done with kids too. Little Shop of Horrors added in some musical components, just like the play and the movie as well, and that was a lot of fun. Napoleon Dynamite really hit it out of the park. That was directed by Jordan Hall, and the guy that played Napoleon and also the guy that played Pedro were so funny, and they just had those little nuances down pat. Who else is in there? We had Grown Ups, which I also was not familiar with. Arrow Roulette, had no idea what that was. And Dark Knight Rises, that was really funny, where the character was Bane, of course, and he made a mask out of his own hands, and Batman made a mask out of his hands, and that was kind of clever. The Exorcist was everything you would expect. Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade was a lot of fun. And The Thing closed out the night. Our film was second to last, but The Thing had a lot of really interesting props for the monster. I don't know how they put this together, but they had this vacuum tube kind of neck of the monster with this face on it, and they were shooting fire at it, and they took, it looked like a blanket and a spotlight, and created fire attacking the monster, and I thought that was really clever. They had some really great special effects in that. And again, these are all like low budget special effects, and you know, that's something that a lot of people can use in their films. If they don't have a big budget, they can find a unique way to put those special effects in their film. In fact, I've interviewed someone that did a lot of special effects like that, Troy Bernier. If you missed that interview about Planet X, you can go back and listen to that. But I do think we have Josh Mitchell on the line, and I do want to talk to him about his film, so let me see here. Okay, Josh, are you there?
I'm here, Rachel. Sorry for my delay. I blame it on Hollywood traffic.
Okay, I believe that. I've been there, I know. Well,
how you doing?
You know, I want to talk... I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Yeah, doing great.
Great.
I had a
wicked awesome.
I had a wicked pissing night last night here in L.A. So I was entertaining a lot of people that came in from the East Coast. So I had to give them the true entourage experience, you know.
Great. Awesome.
You're laughing at my accent on it, aren't you?
I am, but I love it.
I parked the car and have it yard.
That's right. Well, I want to talk about you talk about wining and dining your guests and what you do with publicity, which I want to talk about. But first, I want to get into your film that you just made, Helen Keller Had a Pit Bull. Tell us a little bit about the plot for those that haven't seen it.
Sure. It's based on true events. So for those that don't know, I actually am a publicist. So the story centers around a Boston publicist that moves to Hollywood with his actress girlfriend to live the dream, but his whole world is turned upside down when a rival competitor posts a lie about him on a consumer website called Rip Off Report. To add insult to injury, his girlfriend gets diagnosed with a terminal breast cancer, and her dying wish is to get a dog. And not just a dog, but a pit bull. So The publicist has to, you know, make nice with his new furry friend as he works diligently to, you know, get his reputation back and to get his sweet revenge on his nemesis.
Mm-hmm. Now, so did all of this happen to you, or did you embellish the story?
Some of it did. Some of it's Hollywoodized. Fortunately, I never had a girlfriend that had cancer. I did have a bad experience. I had my launch party when I was getting ready to come out to Hollywood. I threw a major party as a way of announcing to everybody that Wicked Pizza Publicity is here on the West Coast and handling business. So I brought on a creative partner, and I didn't do my due diligence, and it ended up just turning into a disaster. And he did write some nasty stuff about me. And if anyone's curious, you can Google me. And he wrote these blatant lies, almost comical lies. Like, the stuff that he wrote was like so wild if you knew me. So it really didn't make sense. But this is why I made the film, because this website, Rip Off Report, is the most un-American scandalous site I've ever encountered. What they do is they allow anybody to write anonymous lies, and there's no ramifications for it. What they do is they hide behind this famous law called the Common Decency Act, which says that you can't sue somebody, a third party, for defamation. So, for instance, if you and I are in a Yahoo chat room and you defame me, I can't sue Yahoo. So they're protected. So it's actually a pretty practical law, but these people, there's so much stuff about them that it's preposterous. They're almost like internet terrorists.
Yeah.
Funny, huh? Yeah,
crazy.
Coupled with that, my girlfriend did save a pit bull, and I had no experience with the breed. You know, I came from Boston. You know, I grew up with labs, and I was absolutely inspired by this, you know, petite young blonde girl that would go to the East Valley Animal Shelter in Van Nuys and walk these big brooding dogs that no one really wanted to fraternize with. So one day I was there, and I witnessed this, and she was walking this really handsome, vibrant, and just full of life dog. And one of the volunteers said, "Oh, yeah, that's Marty. He's going to be put down on Saturday." And we kind of looked at each other and we're like, "No, he's not." And so we had to make a really fast judgment. And she actually saved another dog, which was wild too. So we had two pit bulls, she had to put them in like a holding center. And while she, one of them was in the holding center and one was with us, she found this woman from Arizona that ends up having, you know, 20 acres of land. So she drove 8 hours from Tucson, stayed on our couch, and the next day Bobby and Dez the pit bull got up and drove into the, you know, the good day. And I started crying when I witnessed it, to be honest. Hmm. It was so inspiring. It was so inspiring just because, you know, I'm used to seeing like the flashiness of Hollywood, the lack of substance and some of the, you know, the artificialness. And here was this woman I witnessed true love between the saving of these dogs. And, you know, we're friends with her on Facebook. So we get to see updates of this real, you know, tough looking dog that is just, when you really strip back the layers of the onion, it's just one of the most loyal and sweetest dogs I've ever witnessed. They used to be nanny dogs, the pit bulls.
Huh. That's interesting.
A lot of people don't know. I mean, that's other, you know, through my research now, look, the Little Rascals, the dog in the Little Rascals, Petey, he's a pit bull. In the 1950s, the army used their recruitment poster as a pit bull. So, you know, it's a breed that's been villainized, and it's too bad because, you know, my experience has been nothing but positive with them.
And did you really have problems with your apartment complex with pit bulls?
You know, nothing official, but it's the whole case of walking the dog and people with a couple of little ankle-biting dogs that are all barking and everything.
Uh-huh.
They would pick them up when we would walk by a little bit. And our thing is like, "Oh, is your dog not friendly?" Because there's a lot of prejudgment out there, and unfortunately the media likes to glamorize stories a lot. And it really is an owner-based dog. not to get all dog whisperer on you, but it does stem from, you know, if you wanted to make a kid mean, you could make a kid mean. So it's all how you, you know, train your dog. And unfortunately, a lot of, you know, I'll just say sort of radical owners would use the dog because, you know, they're obviously very muscular. So, you know, a lot of them try to use them as, you know, guard dogs and stuff like that. So, of course, the fighting stuff that happened. So there's a stigma out there, and that's really why I made this movie for two reasons. Mm-hmm. To be a mouthpiece and to educate the public about that vicious site ripoff report, and then to be an evangelist about the pit bull breed and witness my dog, which is, you know, if anyone watches the movie, you'll see how he's very handsome and he's just an amazing dog.
Mm-hmm. Now, is this the dog that you, is this the same dog that you rescued?
Yeah, this is Marty. Yep, he's the star. He's my Lassie and my Benji in the movie.
And now, how did you get the rest of your cast?
How did I get the what? Excuse me?
How did you get the rest of your cast?
Oh, the rest of my cast came in from various areas. Now, the cool thing about being a publicist is, you know, I represent a lot of actors. So, hey, that's pretty positive right there. I'm able to put my clients exactly in something great. So, Hallie Jordan, for instance, she plays the main intern in my movie. She's a client of mine, a great comedic actress. The rest, I held an audition. I used Actors Access right here in L.A. So a lot of them I've used before. Josh Thrower was in my last short film, Siphoned. Adrian Bustamante, who plays the landlord, he's a client of mine. So I really, you know, I've made a bunch of short films and a couple web series out here. So I got to kind of give a lot of actors some test drives. So those that I didn't use on Actors Access were either friends or clients of mine that I plugged in.
Mm-hmm. And where was it shot? I know it was shot around L.A. Where did you shoot it exactly, your locations?
Predominantly in North Hollywood in Toluca Lake. I live in the valley. So to make this work, it was a very difficult shoot. It was a 10-day shoot.
Wow.
So for me, I was writing, directing, producing, and starring. So it was one of the hardest things I ever did in terms of being able to execute it. Because you had to have a really meticulous plot in terms of how to execute all the scenes. And I think I was juggling over 60 actors. And, you know, we have dogs.
Wow.
We have dogs and children in the movie. And they say, you know, those are the toughest ones to utilize. So, yeah, it was very challenging. We shot in Studio City a little bit and Van Nuys. But, yeah, mainly in that area.
Wow. Now, was the writing process as long as the filming process? Did it take you a long time to write this?
You know what? I've written a lot of pieces, a lot of sort of kind of high concept ideas. This was the first piece that I sat down, and it was personal. So a lot of it, you know, I had in my back pocket. I mean, I could relate to the idea of picking up from Boston and navigating cross country and kind of putting all your stuff in a U-Haul pod. So I sat down, and this piece took me less than 2 weeks to execute, which was pretty wild. It kind of just flew. It just flowed out of me. And it was a therapeutic, artistic revenge type event because, the ease in which the ideas and the dialogue sort of flew out was less than ordinary from my past. So I enjoyed that.
What was the experience of coming from Boston to Los Angeles like? You know, what was the difference in the clientele, in the atmosphere, the people, et cetera, the business?
Yeah, it's in terms of the filmmaking part, which is interesting, you know, I made a couple films in Boston, and the tough part would be I'd have to use, like, Frankie the Plumber to play one of the roles because the talent pool just isn't as robust out here. So that I really enjoyed. I made this, my first piece out here was this web series called Pick and Roll, which is essentially Entourage on a basketball court. So it was a seventh round in NBA basketball phenom. So when I got on the set for that, I was really impressed by the way that talent and actors approached work out here. They treated it like a real job. It was very professional. So that was something I duly noted. One of the main differences was just in embracing the weather. I mean, it's honestly like Groundhog's Day here, which is just, you know, so pleasant in terms of, you know, I can remember trying to shoot something back in Boston, and we're always looking at the weather channel. Is it going to rain? Is it going to be overcast? And I swear, you know, during Helen Keller, our 10-day shoot, we didn't have one problem with the weather in terms of, you know, no rain or anything. So that was really great.
Mm-hmm.
I've been pleasantly surprised.
No.
Go ahead. Excuse me.
Go ahead.
I was just saying about the caliber of people out here. I think there's a lot of great people. I mean, the difference between Boston is, you know, people are really geared around sports there. There's, you know, there's not a lot to do. You can go to a bar and you can watch the Patriots and you can cheer it on. But in terms of out here, you know, you can go hiking. You can go. There's a lot of great escapes you can do. Not to say that there's not in Boston, but I would say out here there's a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. Now, your film is on Vimeo. Did you also have it at film festivals? Why also did you choose Vimeo?
So I like to try to be on the cups of new technology and new platforms. So in terms of our production of Helen Keller, we used a camera called the Black Magic camera, which I haven't seen any feature films done on yet. So that was something that I wanted to experiment with, and it was a great experience. It's a really mobile camera. It's not bulky. You can you know, go into spots and kind of be under the radar. So coupled with that, with Vimeo, now a couple months ago, they launched a whole brand new platform, and this is really the future of indie film distribution because, you know, a couple months ago, Spielberg and Lucas came out and addressed a crowd at USC saying that the movie business is going to implode.
Right.
Basically, there's not room for smaller films in the theaters. You know, tentpole movies, big budget, 200 million movies are the ones that are going to really rule the school. So with Vimeo, I looked at it and I said, okay, they offer a great 90-10 split with the filmmaker, which is very attractive. It's a high-end look to it. Actually, your work looks really beautiful on there. It's basically YouTube for filmmakers. You don't have like videos of cats playing with balls of yarn on there. Mainly, you know, any good filmmaker is predominantly on there with their work. So I wanted to kind of fraternize with that and see how the experience was, because I thought that we had a nice demographic of dog lovers, people that I already knew that were waiting for the release of the film. So it's been a good experience. It's been tough in terms of, you know, money breeds money. After the film's done, you know, if I was like a studio and had another, you know, million to spend or something to be able to really market it crazy with ads and everything. But I've had great success just doing direct marketing to the key demographic of the film, which is, you know, movie lovers and dog enthusiasts.
Mm-hmm. Now, as a publicist, I'm sure this is one avenue that you talk about with filmmakers. Tell us a little bit about some other advice that you would give to filmmakers about marketing their film.
Yeah, the biggest thing is you just got to rattle every cage possible. The problem in today's world is we're just bombarded with an assortment of content. There's so much choices now. So it's hard to steal the attention span of viewers these days. It feels like we live in the MTV cut and splice world. Everybody's like dying to click off of something. So my biggest thing is, as I said, is finding out who your direct audience is and then bringing the content directly to them. So when I sign up a new client, what we do is I create an insightful and alluring one-sheeter. It's basically, you know, a press release that highlights the key elements of a client. So, you know, photos of the film, the synopsis, links to the trailer, And then we take that and we bring that directly to who we think will respond to the material. Obviously, you got to utilize all social media nowadays. That's a definite, you know, from Twitter to Facebook movie groups to LinkedIn entertainment groups. You know, the elements are out there, but it does take a lot of ground to cover. I've been doing it for a while now, so I have what I consider an unrivaled distribution list, which is just packed with, you know, the top movers and shakers in Hollywood, from agents to film bloggers to festival programmers to actually just movie lovers. So that's kind of the process that I work. I've created sort of a niche out here for the indie artist. Most people, a lot of new performers can't afford the retainers of the big agencies out here in Hollywood. So I come in at an economical price range, and I'm not getting rich doing it, but I'm able to provide an assortment of worth, you know, from write-ups to email introductions to creative collaborations. But, yeah, it's hard, you know. My whole motto and mantra is good things come to those who initiate, not wait.
That's so true. Wow, right. And you've gotten some big companies, too, in addition to the local indie filmmakers. You've gotten some major companies. Tell us a little bit about some of those clients.
Yeah, well, I specialize in the Sundance Film Festival. I do a lot of celebrity gifting suites. So those are great in terms of bringing in some bigger clients that want to, you know, get their swag in the hands of influencers. So I've done a lot of events surrounding the major productions out here. You know, the Emmys, the ESPYs, the Cannes Film Festival, Toronto, Tribeca. So I've had a great experience in terms of, you know, bringing my people in, and it's fun, you know. You get to actually, owners of high-end companies get to have FaceTimes with their end users. So people walk around and they're able to, you know, give business cards and talk face-to-face and talk about why their product is, you know, so cool and why people should buy it. And people walk out with fistfuls of, you know, great stuff.
Well, now, was it hard to get clients when you first got there, or was it kind of a natural progression? Did you get them more easily, or was it kind of an uphill battle?
Well, you know, I came out here with all guns blazing, so I knew that I was making the transition, and I had a lot of clients out here already from working from Boston. So when I was here, I would say it was probably easier because, you know, I do a lot of red carpet events and networking events. And while I'm bringing my people out, it's kind of like, you know, I market my people to other people that see the allure. Then they're like, I want that. So it kind of has helped the domino effect in that regard. But it always is a challenge. You know, money's tough. And some people undervalue the, you know, the allure of a publicist. And there's also a lot of, you know, people out here that it's difficult to make a client happy sometimes. It's almost like a well that is consistently running or a thirst that can't be quenched. It's the old Janet Jackson thing. What have you done for me lately? So you have to consistently be, you know, doing great things. But I take my sort of proof in the pudding is the fact that the majority of my clients come back again, and, you know, a lot of them rehire me for new endeavors. So I take that as a, you know, a feather in the cap.
So how do people contact you, and also give us the website for the Helen Keller How to Pitbull?
Give us sure. So Helen Keller is on Vimeo Pro. So you can either Google Helen Keller How to Pitbull the movie, or the direct URL for the film is vimeo.com/on-demand/ Helen Keller Had a Pitbull. So, I encourage everybody to at least watch the trailer. And, we're lucky. We have 6 5-star reviews right now. So I'm getting a lot of positive feedback from the film. And I promise if people give it a chance, it is $3, which is, you know, people are not used to paying for content right now online. But I'm telling you, this is the future. And if anyone's interested in supporting indie film, I guarantee that you'll be entertained and even moved by this piece. In terms of my publicity, Yeah, my company's called Wicked Pisser Publicity, www.wickedpisserpublicity. Now, that's ID, so it's WICKIDPISSAPublicity.com. And you can also just find me on Vimeo. And I challenge anybody to Google me, and you can see some of, you know, there's a lot of great interviews that I've done, but you can also see the Ripoff Report stuff. It's kind of interesting to put it all in perspective.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you have any other projects that you're working on right now, any other films?
Yeah, I'm really excited, actually, Rage, though. I'm on the verge right now. I'm in pre-production on a new provocative and edgy piece that I hope to take to Sundance myself. One of my bucket list endeavors has been, this year will mark 10 years in a row for me at the Sundance Film Festival, and I'm kind of one of the go-to guys in terms of party planning, celebrity gifting suites. But now, you know, being a publicist filmmaker, I've always had a dream of being there with an official piece in the festival. So I've written this piece. I just cast my female lead yesterday, and we're going into production the second week of August. It's a short piece, but it's called The Corruption of Kadiah Kitts. It's about a Kobe Bryant, LeBron James, NBA hoop star that's on the verge of signing the number one draft pick contract. And he meets a young seductress, a young little sex pot that sort of turns his world upside down. So I'm really excited about the material. I got some young talent associated with it. We're shooting on a high-end format. And, yeah, sky's the limit.
Great. Are there any clients that you want to give a plug to also real quick?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So right now I'm representing an amazing escape artist named Curtis Lovell. This kid's like the next coming of Houdini. The stuff he does is just amazing. You know, I don't know if anybody watches, like, America's Got Talent and everything, but,
yeah,
you know, the escape artists, when they go in the pool and they're tied up with chain and cement blocks. I mean, just thrilling and comedic stuff. So he's one to definitely keep an eye on, and we're getting him plugged into some parties for, you know, just entertainment. He does some stuff with straitjackets that's great. My other big client is Jeff Weinberg right now, who has a great travel show called Tourist Trapped. And you can look up Tourist Trapped right now, and he gives a backstage view of the Sundance Film Festival. The film's kind of about, I mean, the show, rather, is about a guy that goes to major events around the country but can't really get into the big things. So he gives an everyday, ordinary man approach to all the surrounding hooplas, surrounding like big time events like the Super Bowl and stuff. So yeah, I encourage everybody to watch that.
Okay, great.
Yeah, and one more client that you might be interested in speaking with in the future is Joe Pepitone, who has a film out right now called Stuck in the Middle. It's being released on Amazon the end of this month, but it's a funny film about being stuck in purgatory and dealing with God, and it's very comical. So, yeah, you can check out the trailer for Stuck in the Middle online as well.
Okay, great. Well, Josh, thank you for being with us today. I know you've got things to do. You're in L.A., and you're on the fast track, and, you know, got to get back in traffic and get all those things done, and the show's almost over. So I wanted to thank you for being on here, and maybe at some point, once you get this other film for Sundance, you know, in Sundance, we can bring you back and talk about that.
Oh, that would be great. You'll hear me screaming in the streets of Hollywood if I get it in the Sundance. So, no, I really appreciate that, Rachel. Thank you. And, I apologize for being a little late there. But I really enjoyed speaking with you, and thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Have a great
day. Bye-bye. Okay, well, that was Josh Mitchell, and he joined us late, but at least he showed up, and that's half the battle. So we had a chance to talk to him about his film. Like I said, he's with Wicked Pisser Publicity, and you can hear that Boston accent, Wicked Pisser. You could check out his publicity site and also his film on Vimeo, Helen Keller Had a Pitbull. So check that out as well. And also, if you're a filmmaker out there, if you didn't hear in the beginning, please, I'm going to say it again, contact me if you're a filmmaker and you'd like to come on the show. My email address is ravenprods@yahoo.com, ravenprods@yahoo.com. Also, I talked about being at Swedefest yesterday. I am going to be posting pictures later on, probably tonight, on my website, independentstreak.ning.com, independentstreak.ning, N-I-N-G.com. And the site's been under construction right now, but I am going to be working on that and hoping to get those pictures up tonight of Swedefest. And also, there's other pictures that are going up. I just met Sally Kellerman, the wonderful actress Sally Kellerman. So I'm going to be putting pictures up of that. And also, there's reviews. There's all kinds of stuff. I'm working on an article about Sally Kellerman too. So there's going to be all kinds of stuff up on that website. In addition, please like my Facebook page, which is just like the show, Indie Streak. And I do put stuff up there all the time about events that are coming up, not only in South Florida, but other places as well, and castings, if you're an actor out there, different things that I find out about that you might not have heard about in other areas. And I do put things about these shows as well. So check that out. And please have your friends like the page as well, because I'm trying to get as many people on there as possible. Okay, guys, well, I will be back next week, same time, same channel, 1 o'clock Sundays. And you can, you know, check it out live next week, and I will talk to you then. Thank you so much for tuning in. Bye-bye.